A good partner is always at your side, helping out today, planning for tomorrow, moving forward together. At Redwood Credit Union, we can help you achieve your goals with banking tools that deliver great value year after year, like free checking with rewards, affordable loans and credit cards, and convenient access to your money. It's banking from right here for the people who call this place home. Today, tomorrow, together. Learn more at redwoodcu.org. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
You're listening to 1440 KVON, the voice of the Napa Valley. Here's your host, Barry Martin.
Let's now turn our attention to something entirely different. We're going to spend some time talking about the Napa Oaks Project proposal. And we have two guests joining us here in studio. Eve Kahn is with us. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting us.
And Carol, I don't think I have your last name written down.
Barge.
Carol Barge. Our two guests who are, and we'll say right at the outset, in opposition to the Napa Oaks proposal. And perhaps, Carol, you can get us started by telling those who don't know what is being proposed in this Napa Oaks project.
Yeah, thanks again, Barry, for having Eve and I on to give some insight into this project. Napa Oaks 2 is a 51 large-scale hillside subdivision that's proposed on our southwest hills by David on Homes out of Walnut Creek. That, in a nutshell, is what Napa Oaks 2 is.
Can you describe the location for folks who are not familiar?
Yes. It's known as our southwest hills, so it borders Old Sonoma Road. And it's on the other side of that hill that they're proposing. It leads out into the Carneros region. So it's right on the border of city limits. So as you go up the hill and leave town on Old Sonoma Road, you'll go from city limits then to the county line.
What old-timers will call the notch, right?
Okay. I'm not an old-timer,
yes,
so.
Yes, absolutely. It's called the notch. Yeah. And one thing for those who come in from the other side, who are coming from 121, and now there's a light at Old Sonoma Road, this project is almost at the bottom of a very steep hill. And that's very important because one of the issues that we have is the access in and out of that property. Mm-hmm. So it's from some people, old timers have told me that's the steepest hill inside the city, is right on that part of Old Sonoma Road.
Yeah, sure, going up the notch to go over the hill to Carneros.
Yeah, but a lot of people come the other way.
Right.
And
You're talking about speed of traffic
speed,
coming down?
Yeah, the developer's own analysis of the average speed coming down that hill is 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Usually I go that way a lot, and you got to really get on the brake because of the steepness, and you don't realize how fast you're going. Okay, so a 51-home proposal in this site. This is not the first time this has come forward, right? This is a long history.
It absolutely has a long history. I only moved here in 2015, so I'm new to the history of Napa Oaks, too. But talking to neighbors and people that have lived here for a very long time and informing myself about the history of the project, so David on Homes bought that 78-acre hillside in the year 2000. Now, they had an option to buy that in 1997, but they didn't exercise it. They didn't take possession of the property until 2000. Well, in the meantime, the general plan came up for amendments and review, and that hillside, which was zoned single-family residential, when David on first started looking at it in 1997, changed to RA, or resource area, in 1998. And so the resource area designation for housing up there is one house per 20 acres. So here comes David on. Now they've exercised the right to purchase that property. It's the year 2000. The zoning has changed. But they got a wink and a nod maybe from the city that we'll revisit that zoning and, maybe change it back. As it turned out, when David on proposed, I think it was 65 homes back in those days, in 2002, the city denied them the right to build those homes, and they stuck with the RA designation. And so David on sued the city, said, you didn't make good on your promise. We expected you to go back to single-family residential so we could build this hillside, and they didn't. They lost that lawsuit, and then they sued again on appeal, and they lost that appeal. So they've sued the city twice to change the zoning back to single-family residential. And now fast forward 2016, they're back with another proposal. It's fewer homes. It started out with 53 on their environmental report, and then their final one came in with 51 homes. That's what we're looking at today, that range in size from 3,880 square feet to 5,061 square feet. So they're very large-scale homes up on mm-hmm. that property.
Not exactly addressing the affordable housing problem that we have. These would sell for, I'm guessing, $800,000 to $900,000 minimum.
Oh, I think you're off a little bit.
I'm off a little? How much am I off?
One of my jobs is as a realtor.
I know. Really, what are we talking about?
The developer is quoting $1 to $2 million, but okay. I can tell you that right now in subdivisions like Browns Valley, there are a lot of homes that are already at over $1 million. So given that, and they're much smaller. They're more like 2,500 to 3,000. So if you're talking 3,500 to 5,000, you're talking 2 to 3 million.
Really?
Right, really. And so you know, these are, and I think by their own admission, are quote executive homes. I mean, these are typically not going to be the teachers, the radio show hosts, the realtors necessarily.
Eve, you just pulled off the MLS this morning. Didn't you?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's a question about, do we really need these homes? And this morning I pulled off a list that there's 50 active properties in Napa that are between $1 million and $3 million. And so there's a lot of homes to be purchased. Mm-hmm. They range from, as I said, there's a few that are sitting in Browns Valley. There's some over at the Yacht Club. There's some in Silverado. There's some in the Eastern mm-hmm. and Western Hills.
So there's no shortage of homes available in this
property? No shortage of homes. Okay. And as you even climb up into the larger, the higher dollar amounts, the days on market really stretch. So to say there's a whole lot of people who are patiently waiting for this is, you know, people always like new homes, but I think the higher priority is definitely at a lower price point.
Mm-hmm. So what's the regulatory process been for this project? It has to go through many steps, planning commission, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
What's the track of that?
Well, so they send out, that is the city, the planning department, because they work with developers on projects. That's their job. And to assess the project and help that developer make a palatable pitch to first the Planning Commission and then the City Council. So the first part of that is a draft environmental impact report that they put together and that the public can weigh in on. And so that report, as you can imagine, it's like reading a thick book. And so there's lots and lots of details. There's traffic studies in there. There's a lot of environmental reports about the soil and et cetera and where the houses are going to sit. And so it takes a lot to, you know, read and understand and get to the gist of what they're proposing. And then you can, as a concerned citizen, write letters to the city planning department and say, well, what about this and what about that? And by the way, the only people that get this letter that they're proposing this subdivision or any is about 1,000 feet away. So it's not the whole city that weighs in, it's just the surrounding neighbors. And so we all have had a chance to write our letters and our concerns, etc. Then the developer takes a look at those with the planning department and says, okay, so we've got these concerns and those concerns, and how can we mitigate them further? Mm-hmm. And then they will package it into what's called a final environmental impact report. And they'll say, okay, we took your concerns, we heard you, now this is what we're proposing as a final plan. And then it first then goes to the Planning Commission, which are appointed people. There's five on that serve. And, you know, there are a smattering of attorneys and architects, etc., that have an interest in what happens in our, thankfully, in our community. And so the final, and I won't speak any further about this, we'll let Eve weigh in on this, but the Planning Commission votes, they give a recommendation to the City Council. And then the City Council then has a chance to do the final vote and say for sure if it's going to pass or not. What is up for vote on this project, I want to make clear to people, is that the city must change the zoning on that property in order to allow Davidon Homes to build those homes. We, as a Stop Napa Oaks loosely fitted organization, have never said we don't want any homes built up there. We want David on Homes to build the homes that they're zoned for, which is 11. Four on the hillside, and they also own single-family residential property right next to me on Caswell Street. So that's a total of 11 homes, and we've always said build to your zoning.
Mm-hmm. And I would add that any time, whether it's city or county, and you have a general plan amendment, the bar is much higher. If you have a property that's zoned estate residential, which is one per acre, or even subdivisions that are, you know, one per or six per acre, then fitting in within the city guidelines is a lot easier. But one of the things that the Planning Commission raised and why they denied it is the bar is set pretty high. And this project didn't meet it. They didn't feel that the design and the quality was there. They felt that there was too high a risk, being that there was one access point because of the configuration of the hill. There's only one road in and that same road out. Mm-hmm. There's a very steep emergency access. One of the things that is an issue for the community, those of us in the community, is the risks, not only the access, but since the applicant put his papers in, we had a major earthquake.
Yeah.
Some of us in Browns Valley were pretty close to the fault line. Well, it took a couple of years, but the USGS allocated, or they evaluate, and the West Napa Fault is now part of the Alcors-Priola Fault Zone, which I describe to people as playing with the big boys, because Alcors-Priola is like the San Andreas and the Hayward and the Rogers. And if you read papers, you see, like, oh my God, if that happened, you know, if there was a major quake on the Hayward, which runs through Oakland and the East Bay, what that would mean and how Napa's affected. So all of a sudden, you're not only putting people on a steep hill that maybe doesn't have, you know, the best drainage and et cetera, et cetera. Now you're putting them in immediate proximity to a very high and dangerous fault line. Mm-hmm. And there are three streets that they have identified on their project that cross the fault line.
Yeah.
And there are homes that are like 25, 30 feet away.
Yeah. If you think back to the 2000 quake, not the 14 quake, but the 2000 quake, there was a pronounced crack in the pavement there in Old Sonoma, right at the Truchard Winery entrance, which is literally 100 yards from the edge of this property.
That's right.
So essentially it's on that fault line.
Yeah, it's and what's interesting is Carol talked about the environmental analysis, and there's been additional fault line analysis. But the EIR stated, oh, we're going to have stronger foundations, which is true. You can definitely have a stronger mm-hmm. foundation. You could have shatterproof windows. I don't think they're doing that for all 51 homes. Mm-hmm. But what they don't seem to understand the seriousness is they said, oh, the street will crack, so we'll pave it. Well, you and I live here. We know that what's under those streets is utility lines and water and gas. And so you're putting people at a level of risk that we don't think mm-hmm. is necessary, given that there's other parcels that could be built on and are being built on.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think is important is this the acre and a half that's sitting right next to Carol's property. That could be six or seven homes. They could have built on that years ago, and it would have fit in with the neighborhood. But right now, what's being planned for that residential parcel is a retention pond to hold the stormwater. Hmm. And so if that happened to fail or overload, where's the water going to go? It's going to go to the existing homes. So from my standpoint, I don't think that's a responsible way to look at building. Mm-hmm. And endangering the neighbors is one thing. Endangering the new people who are living there is something else. So there's just a whole lot of cracks in this project, weaknesses that I would say, that that causes us to try to challenge the
thing. What's the timeline on this now? Where is it in the process?
So in December 7th, 2017, this project went to the Planning Commission, and they were to vote on it that night and give their recommendation to City Council. Well, if anyone that's listening was in that room that night in the chambers, it was standing room only. They had to put chairs out into the foyer. There were 44 or 45 people came to the podium to speak about Napa Oaks. Only three or four were in favor of it. The rest were your average citizen coming out on a dark and stormy night, you know, in holiday season to voice their concern about this project. The meeting went so long that they had to table the vote. So they rescheduled for the vote, closed public comments after December 7th, scheduled a December 21st meeting, and, you know, had the vote. And we still had a great turnout, but because we weren't going to be speaking, you know, a lot of people had done their thing and were, you know, listening or watching on video at home. And they took the vote. And it was a split, 3-2 against Napa Oaks. They would not change. They did not recommend to the city council that the zoning be changed. And so now...
What's the date, June?
June
date.
Well, so we don't know yet when it's up for the city council to vote on it, but that's the next step, and they will take a look at the Planning Commission's recommendation. But in the meantime, so the vote was actually supposed to happen with city council February 7th, but Eve just spoke about the Alkis Priolo, and so David on had a table even going to the city council for the vote and do additional trenching up there. So they've been doing trenching. They did for, I don't know, a month or 6 weeks, and they've just come out with their reports, the geologist reports that we just got a hold of yesterday, and we haven't had a chance to review. But it looks like those reports have been done. Now it'll go back to the city council maybe in June sometime, and that's when the council will vote on whether to change the zoning back to single-family residential on that hillside.
And can I add one thing? The general plan update, I guess 2040 is the next vision, is going to be starting soon. And there's a lot of discussion about a lot of parcels. The one on Old Sonoma Road that the county is going, you know, is looking to have the city take over, maybe. There are a lot of parcels, maybe like this one. Once you move, what's going to be here? This might be housing.
Oh, so, I'll tell you what's going to be here.
So one of the things that some of us, and I'm on the Napa Housing Coalition, and we're very bullish on housing, is to have a community discussion as to where the right places are and what type of housing we really need, and send that message clearly to developers so that they don't come with a product that is inconsistent with our community needs. And so one of the options that we're hoping to convince the public and the city council is to either reject this or send it back and say, look, we only want to have this community discussion. We want to put it in a broader context of everything that's happening or could happen in the next 20 years, mm-hmm. rather than it be a spot zoning and a spot change. And that really we think is the best path moving forward.
All right. We've run out of time, but if people are interested in knowing more, reading about what you've put together here, where can they go?
Oh, thank you for asking that, Barry. We have a website. It's called StopNapaOaks.com. We also have a Facebook page of the same name, Stop Napa Oaks. And then on, so the updates will be on the Facebook. And on the website, we have more static information, too, that there's lots of links on there as well. And so we also have a petition site. If you want to join us in this petition, we already have close to 2,000 signatures on our online petition. We've gone door to door, and with a combination, we now have about 2,500 signatures. So if you want to sign our online petition, you can find us on petition.org.
Okay. Very good. Carol Barge and Eve Kahn, thanks for coming in today to talk about your Stop Napa Oaks effort. And I want to say, in the interest of fairness, if there's a representative from David on Homes that wants to come and talk about their proposal, I would welcome them, and they'd have a chance to make their case as well. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Barry.